Hello to all of you influential people who are leaders or are the future leaders. Welcome to another episode of Pivotal Change. I'm your host, Ryan Kahn from CS Business Consulting, and we've got a very fun episode tonight. I'm going to be telling you about my recent travels and the specific pivotal changing moments that help refine my leadership when I do things like this. We're going to be talking about interactions with the USA World Team, high networking, high-level interactions with people, businesses, and travel to unique locations with different cultures of people and how all of that bundles together to make you grow and be a better person. Then we're going to bring on a very special guest of mine later on, and we're going to break things down in a more precise way of how you can make small daily impacts and change roles, responsibilities, cultures, and ultimately the effectiveness and growth of your company. So we're going to have a good time tonight, and I want to dive right in with sharing with you about my recent travels to Croatia. Now, I went to Croatia on a 12-day trip, 10 solid full days in country, to the first time ever going to Europe in a place that most people probably have just heard of and definitely not traveled. The reason for my trip, primary, was to watch Team USA World Championship Wrestling. They have a men's freestyle team, a women's freestyle team, and they also have a men's Greco-Roman team. So you know that I'm a wrestling coach, been a wrestler my whole life, a football player. I'm into other things like martial arts, and I'm very passionate about this stuff. So much so that I'm actually one of the sponsors of Team USA. Now, Team USA is your Olympic USA team. And funny enough, I actually have two athletes that I support on Team Mexico as well, and they both achieved some pretty nice accolades as well. So the fun part of this trip is that we got to see the highest caliber athletes performing and going at each other to really unlock their potential and see who is literally the best in the world. And what does that mean to be the best in the world at something? Well, I'm going to tell you what it means and how you get there and how it applies to your businesses. So this is the fun part. You saw just a dose of what that is and how intense it can be. But one thing that I want you to do is that for anything elite, you have to come at it with a bit of a competitive mindset, and you have to come at it with preparation. So while we were over in Croatia, not only did we prepare for the trip, but these athletes had been preparing for about 9 or 10 months. There's a qualifying period, there's a regular season. They come out of that regular season, go into qualifying, and then about 9 months, they are training for a single event. And if you don't win your first match, you're done. You may win two matches and still compete, but not your first one. If you lose your first one, you're done. So 9 months of training could be over in a matter of minutes or even seconds based on how the chips fall. One of the things that really inspired me about watching Team USA compete on the world stage was just the constant reminder that these results come from years of discipline, preparation, learning how to move, sharpening techniques, getting an incredible strength and conditioning, and that there's not just a random moment where you walk out of the mat and perform your best. You perform your best when the culmination of the readiness and preparation that you have done over time comes to its pinnacle moment. What I see, unfortunately, is a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and young people want a more instant satisfaction, a more instant gratification on their success. They want to be millionaires yesterday. They want to make their first $100,000, the first $1 million in a very rapid succession turnaround. History shows that most millionaires become millionaires in their 50s. Now it's drifting down the ladder because technology and the better communication about how to manage finances and run business is spreading, that we have a lot of millionaires popping up on the radar in their 30s. That's pretty impressive. But none of those people did it overnight. There's not just a magic switch, some special button you can push that will allow you to be a millionaire. You have to prepare, you have to grind, you have to sharpen your technique, whether that's sales pitches or softwares or assembly lines. You have to sharpen all of that stuff, and you have to put it into work. The number one thing is grit. Grit is the number one thing common amongst most millionaires. Now, look back to some of these wrestling examples. You have Zahid Valencia, who just took a world championship, his first time being on the world team. The most points you can score is you win 5 matches with a 10-point spread. So the most points you can score without having another person score against you, and Zahid's the guy in red, is you can score 50-0 and have what is considered a perfect tournament. Zahid went 49-0. Nobody scored a point against him. And he defeated his enemies by all technical foul except for a single guy. It's one of the most dominant performances in history. Well, I have the pleasure of knowing Zahid, having seen and witnessed some of his preparation, and I'm telling you, it's like no other. You get results like that when you put on the elite champion mindset. And I challenge some of you to go watch some of his videos. Watch Kyle Snyder. Watch Helen Marulis. She is phenomenal. This is her 11th time gaining a world medal. That's top three people in the world. And I think it was her fifth time being the actual world champion. Just absolutely phenomenal, record-breaking performances. The guys, Trent Hydlea was fantastic. He was down 10-2 and he came back and won 13-10 because he had superior conditioning, superior grit, and that American willpower, which is almost unbreakable when the time is right. That's one of the most exciting wrestling matches I've ever witnessed with my own eyes. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So if you guys are looking to do that, you have to prepare yourself for years to perform at the highest level and take it not just from wrestlers, but other athletes, that you got to get out there and you've got to put yourself in the arena and you've got to test your skills. Get out there and make the harder sales pitch. Get into the higher group of networking. Get into the more difficult places. Learn from your failures and move forward. These people also surround themselves with a premium network of individuals. The power of your environment is pivotal, absolutely pivotal. Whether I'm fortunate to be sitting up in the donors and VIP, the actual team booth, because I'm a team donor, but whether you're surrounding yourself with high net worth individuals, our conversations were either wrestling or sharpening each other's swords about business and what we do and how we can, here's a guy that can help you, and hey, I know a guy, and oh, this lady over here is an expert, talk to her. And we're all feeding each other. And we're in a room of elite-minded people in the business realm that's saying like, hey, let's help our wrestlers compete, but let's also help each other win at life. So surround yourself with the most powerful environment that you can, but it has to be healthy power, because there's bad power out there, and I'm not gonna go down a tangent on that one. But being around high net worth individuals, or at least high thinking individuals, if you're young and growing, you're gonna shape yourself. You try to find the old dogs, the old Hall of Famers. You know, I always ask advice from every time I meet a Hall of Famer, I ask advice. Hey, I'm also a coach. What's the number one thing I should do? Da, 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 da. You get these world-class athletes. They're the ones in the arena. It's like, hey, how are you doing it? Hey, what was your biggest thing? What was the most pivotal thing that you did regularly that came in to your performance today? And they're going to tell you that, oh, every morning I woke up and did this thing, and I felt that that movement was better than the other guy. So that movement, that one extra thing I did every day made the difference. Holy cow. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Get in there and surround yourself with the right people who reinforce how you work, how you live, how you operate in all realms of things. That's the other thing, is that when you start surrounding yourself in this powerful environment of people, there's going to be incredible accountability and incredible teamwork. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Okay, that is a huge popular verse amongst athletes, amongst business owners. You need a network of people so that you can sharpen each other and hold each other accountable. These wrestlers don't miss workouts. And if somebody misses a workout, excuse me, but they better have a fever and be throwing up. Otherwise, they need to be in that room, getting their butt in shape and working hard, because I need you to push me as well, just like you need me to push you. And if we both start slacking, we both start falling to the bottom of the barrel, and we can't win medals. We can't represent Team USA. We can't achieve our personal goals and elevate our lives and that of the lives around us. So get good training partners in your business, training partner in your spiritual life, training partner on how to regulate your emotions, training partners on how to be a better parent or spouse. Get training partners who are going to hold you accountable, and definitely things outside of wrestling. I say this all the time to everyone who will listen. If the only thing you learn from wrestling is wrestling, you have missed the point. Wrestling is life, and it teaches you about life in the most dynamic and an assertive, aggressive wake-up call type of way that you can. So get a discipline system, stick to it, get other people to join you in that system, and do that to your business and to the way you develop and utilize your leadership. And then lastly, on this topic here, I want you to early in any successes you have, start raising the next generation. start raising the next generation, bringing my son into this environment. He's sitting here and he's not having a lot of high-level business conversations, but he's hearing them happen. He's shaking these people's hand. He's making eye contact. He's articulate when they ask him questions. And he asks a few back, but he's seeing how I connect and how I get that phone number and give my contact information. And now I know a guy and they know a guy and we have mutual connections. We can email and text each other. And realistically, if I need something, I'll call these people and say, hey, can you help me out here? And I've had phone calls where like, hey, Ryan, you mentioned you did this. Can you go ahead and can I act on that? Yeah, of course you can. And this is where it comes in, that next generation sees how things are done. Instead of me just coming back from Croatia and telling them, hey, I met some cool people and I had some cool conversations. He hears the language. He sees the business speak. He learns the jargon. He learns how to do it a little bit himself. Now he's made some additional friends and got some pretty cool phone numbers in his phone as well. So put those seeds, put those higher level visions into the next generation, whether it's an actual child of yours or it's that all-star champion employee that you're going to eventually hand the keys of the kingdom over to, whatever it is. Get that next generation active and learning early so they can see you in your prime, experience you in your prime, and do this. Now, you may have realized that a lot of this stuff right here really falls into the mindset, a little bit of the materials and the methodology, the mentorship, and things like that. That lines up with the 5Ms, and Team USA is doing stuff like that. So I'm going to go ahead and stick a pin in the conversation right now. We're going to come back more with some different lessons about the travel and the culture. So we'll be back with more Pivotal Change right after this. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back from the break. Thanks for sticking with us. And I want to make sure that you guys know where to find Pivotal Change whenever you need it. You don't just have to watch it and miss an episode if you're not available at the right time of the week. Pivotal Change is available now on demand. You go to Now Media TV and you can find all of the episodes of Pivotal Change and all of your favorite shows in bilingual. They can be English or Spanish. It's absolutely fantastic. You can download the free Now Media TV app, and you can get it on Roku or on iOS. You can enjoy the instant access to the full lineup of programming. The fun part is, if you prefer to listen on the go and you can't watch an episode, you can still get the podcast version, the audio version of it, and listen to it on the treadmill or a long travel, on the airplane or car, any place that you get, and it is all 24/7. The breaking news, the lifestyle, the culture, the leadership, and everything in between. Ready wherever you are. So make sure that you dial into that one. Now, we're going to continue to cross over to the experiences learned in Croatia. And I was much more specific on the primary purpose of the trip and all of the business application to the wrestling that we observed. But my son and I also got to travel a little bit. And that was obviously one of the demands, was not to just sit in an arena all day, every day. So one of the things that I want to tell you about traveling is I want to point out a couple of things for you. We were in the city of Zagreb, which is a large city, and it's about 800,000 people. It's a good sized city. I think it's the second largest in Croatia. We didn't get to make it all the way down to Dubrovnik, which is the most popular city on the coast, but we made it to Zadar, which is another major city. It's a coastal city, and it has something famous like the sea organs. And I'll get more into that in just a second. But we wanted to make sure to experience the culture. So the very first night there, we went to the downtown city center of Zagreb, which is absolutely gorgeous. Buildings older than the entire United States of America government system and major populations. And it's just really fun to be able to touch a brick that's like 3, 4, 6 times the age of your country and see the Roman influence and the Greek influence and now the current cultural influence. And it's just really fun. And I want to encourage you guys that you have to find the balance of when to grind really hard and push really hard and maximize your performance, like I talked about in the last segment, and then when to also slow down, take time to observe. Listen to things like the sea organ, which is this wonderful kind of pavilioned area where there's these steps flowing down to the sea. And what you can't see is right underneath those waves, right on the edge, it's dialed in so precisely that as the waves hit, they force this large cavity underneath those concrete steps. The waves hit and force air into a series of pipes underneath, and the air pops out these little holes on top, and it just, you're going to hear me do, 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 and it just pushes. And the sea plays you an organ melody of its own choosing. And of course, as the tide comes in or comes out, or a wind picks up or slows down, you get different tunes of various types. And my son and I had the opportunity to just sit there amongst the people and listen and enjoy the ocean's song made specifically for us in that moment. If you're not taking time to slow down, enjoy nature or the creativity of man or whatever it is, you're going to lose out on appreciating so much about this world, the gratitude of what others have done for you or with you, the nature and the created forces outside of our control. And it's just a reminder as a leader not to lose the impact or the touch with that. Don't rush past moments that can have a completely different impact on your perspective, your life, and ultimately your peace. We all need to have peace. Not all the time. Too much peace can possibly result in slothfulness, but you got to have peace at some point. It's got to be something you pursue and allow yourself to have regularly. Another part is that whole perspective of nature. We made sure to take the journey down a country road, not the main highway, which they're drastically different than our highways and stuff too. But Plitzweiss has a wonderful place where there is a series of lakes and a chain of waterfalls. And it is just absolutely stunning, absolutely gorgeous. And getting out into God's nature is just unbelievable. They have these wonderful stone paths that are put down there. The water is so clear, you can see a fish 20 feet down at the bottom. And you can say, oh, that's a carp, that's a bass, that's a whatever. And identify the fish from 20 feet away, no polarized lenses, just crystal clear blue water. So Plitzweiss's waterfalls are there 24/7. They're there all year long. I'm not aware that they've ever had just a drought that dried them up. But of course, if there's a heavy rain, weather that moves through, they get big, they get flow, and they just run through these chains. Now you can take a 2-hour, 4-hour, or 6-hour tour of the place and see literally everything, but just slowing down to get a perspective of nature, in my opinion, lets you understand that there's a bigger world outside of yourself, helps me re-dial in to my core and why I'm all doing this in the first place. Even just simple metaphors like the flow of water reminds me to just stay steady, just flow, and everything will get there in due time. And that pool, that lake, will fill up with healthy water if you just stay consistent over time with these small, regular actions. And it's going to create breathtaking views when you look back at the work and the legacy that you have made. So go explore the countryside, do things like that. We explored the countryside and even stopped at a little nothing cafe. Now in the cities, pretty much everyone can speak English with their Croatian accent. It's not terribly difficult communication with the exception of like, oh, what's the word for this? Or I can't remember how to say this. And maybe you get a little bit of the Yoda, one word backwards from the other, but it's easier to speak out in the country. Much more difficult. And then me being a student of leadership and communication, learning about facial expressions and stuff like that, I would say Gotamon. I put my open palm, smile, I'm a friend. Gotamon is just the greeting, the general greeting, and it is most equal to our hello. I would say Gotamon, hello. So they know I'm English. And then I would speak. But in that countryside, they invited us at a place where we were just ordering pizza and snacks on our road trip to come pick apples from their orchard and grapes from their vine. And they were humble and hospitable. One of the crisp, most crisp apples I've ever eaten. And we enjoyed that before we even ordered our meal. And the grape was a different type entirely. And that cross-cultural hospitality, the body language was almost universal. Some of our hand gestures were different. And when we couldn't read some of the signs, you know, looking for the bathroom, those are different signs in the United States versus Croatia. But I had to read a road sign. I had to read kilometer per hour versus mile per hour. The turn signals and things like that are all just a little different. So you really have to keep your head on a swivel and soak in the culture and adapt as much as you can. And navigating that new language, that new culture in a friendly, healthy, professional way makes for universal connection. Keep yourself humble and curious, and you'll have the ability to connect far beyond words. I had entire conversations and learned how to get to a church service to me speaking one word of Croatian and them speaking zero words of English, and were able to find the church that we were looking for 25, 30 minutes out in the country away from the city. And that was a fun experience as well. And then one of the last things that I want to talk about is how to just have balance and renewal. And I find the best balance comes through a light activity or a fun activity of some type. I don't like all of my renewal to be just downtime, some type of hammock or napping or anything like that. But those things can be very important. We ended up swimming in the Adriatic Sea, which is, you know, in between Croatia and Italy, connected to the Mediterranean. And we got to go in there and just eat fresh food by the beach, sit on what is there version of a beach, which was rock or gravel. It's not the sandy beaches that we're used to in North America, and just really take our time and highlight the importance of slowing down, observing the coastlines, the cultures, swimming in some place different than ourselves, taking a lap out to the buoy and back, and really enjoying that. And just having a pursuit of what we knew was going to be an excellent and unique experience was exciting in itself, joyful while we were doing it, and planted a sincere memory we can always go back to as a nice father-son bonding trip. It put a little bit of a core and a memory into you that it's hard to articulate, just something you can look at. And my son and I can have a reference or a joke or something. We just look at each other and be like, yeah, that's from Croatia. And then the other part too is to have balance and renewal is not everyone got to enjoy this experience with you. So when you're getting your rest, you're getting your joy, you're fueling what is going to be your continued long-term growth, bring back trinkets and reminders to one, remind yourself that this is a good time. If you want more of that, you have to continue to earn it. Others weren't able to go with you, so bring them a little piece of the journey with you. Wristbands, a little cute piece of jewelry, maybe some of the food or the custom treat from the country, things like that, and share your experiences with others. Tell your stories, not in a braggadocious way, but in an inclusive way. If you can bring stuff back, we brought back some fabrics and some outfits and like little earrings, a necklace, and some jewelry that was like little custom handmade, you know, silver-plated stamp stuff. So you had a piece of Croatia to now go with you. And even though you weren't there and you've only heard my stories and you saw some FaceTimes and some cool pictures, there's a little bit of Croatia with you now too. If we take that to the leadership sense, the parenting sense, the spiritual, the mentor sense, can you purposely leave a little piece of you, a little piece of your experiences with another person so they can take that with themselves and they can use it in their future? They can brighten their path. They can claim a portion of what you've experienced and held on to and use it for future potential, future growth, future joy, future peace. So I challenge you to slow down, take those perspectives from nature, take those perspectives from culture, find ways to balance and renew and slow down, and really soak that stuff in so you can have a better life and reach your higher calling and stay charged the entire time. In just a moment here after this commercial break, we're going to be bringing my friend Brittany on board, and we're going to have a really fun conversation now, getting down into the weeds for a little bit. So stay tuned. You're only halfway through tonight's episode. We'll be right back. You've made it past the halfway point on this episode of Pivotal Change, and we're going away from the wrestling experience, the elite level competition in styling your business in that capacity, along with slowing down to enjoy new cultures, new relationships, and the slower side of life for recharging yourself, into a little bit more of a detailed dive into lessons from an expert on how to help just really organize, gain efficiency, rally people, assign responsibility, and just start elevating your business. So this very special guest is a longtime friend of mine and an expert in her own right, Brittany Casares. She has gone around for the last several years, and she pairs up with businesses and helps them streamline their organization, often working in a role of a type of office manager, director, team leader, or just really culture and efficiency builder. So Brittany, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. And I forgot to mention the C3 pillar consulting business that you're running as well, which is really important because I actually use some of your consulting services. So the fun part here is that we have the opportunity to talk about a little bit more about what you do and how it kind of really changes and transitions these businesses into a better version of themselves. But before we talk about what it is you do, I want to get into the why just a little bit. So what sparked your passion for just helping people and their organizations get more organized? Let's start with that one.
Yeah, so I learned late, early on in life that I was a behind the scenes computer individual. I also learned that I am not the entrepreneurial mindset. However, I have the ability to help entrepreneurs get there. And one of the biggest terminologies that I use is I can be your Robin Hood or Robin to your Batman. And so I think the biggest thing that I really love is taking my type A personality and seeing if I can utilize that to change others. Selfishly, I want everybody to kind of work like I do, but they never will. So how can I help them in a way to be more efficient? And I enjoy watching entrepreneurs see the success that they have always wanted to see, but they can't do it on their own.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I'd like people who recognize the self-realization of like, I'm a better Robin than I am a Batman. And there's really a huge need for people like that. If everyone were a Ryan Kahn, or if everyone were a Brittany, or everyone were a Batman, the world would be chaos because we'd be fighting ourselves all the time. But that's really fun stuff. So dealing with a lot of leaders, predominantly you are dealing with the business owner or owners, the principal partners at least. And you have this experience of probably picking up over time some of these recurring mistakes, these recurring issues across different firms and companies. So what's like the biggest mistake that you see leaders making when they get into the realm of like starting to try to like define the roles, the responsibilities, things like that?
Yeah, so it can go one of two ways. So one of the ways that goes to the extreme is the roles are too broad. They have way too much within a certain role, and the expectations of that individual maybe can't meet all of those roles and responsibilities. They might be a subject matter expert at their craft. So that's one way that you have to kind of see what you're truly wanting. And the other way is that it's too narrow-minded. So somebody might be a jack of all trades, and somebody within that role who maybe it might be a more type A personality role, organizational efficiencies, that type of thing. They cannot be in this one little box of, you know, I just need a subject matter expert at these types of things. You have to broaden your roles and responsibilities, because most of those individuals, they say multitasking isn't a thing. However, I'm a firm believer that multitasking is a thing. Usually with individuals who have that type A personality, need that broader roles and responsibilities in order to kind of showcase the jack of all trades. So you can either have way too broad or not broad enough, but it all depends on where you need a subject matter expert and where you need an individual who can help efficiencies in the firm.
I like that a lot. I think that immediately probably resonates with a lot of people, just like myself. There's got to be something there, but you don't want to pin people in a corner. Mm-hmm. And you want to at least have them have some permissions. They'll say, hey, if you need to get out of your corner to accomplish your job, especially this type A person sitting there feeling like they're handcuffed and can't go get their job done, that's going to be detrimental. Would you also say there's a risk of boredom too? Like if you're too boxed in, too closed in with your roles and responsibilities, like, man, I just hit this same button every single day on the factory line. I need more. Is that a possibility as well?
Yes. And I think that goes down to the role you're looking for. Subject matter experts, they can handle the monotonous tasks every day, day in and day out, because that is something that they truly enjoy. They love deep diving into that item. But when you have individuals who have more of a jack of all trades role everywhere kind of in the firm that their expertise is needed, you have to get rid of that monotonous and be able to produce that, so you don't have that boredom, like you said.
Yep, I got it. And so I'm got this little grin on my face because I'm just thinking about certain people here that you know at our firm. about needing no boundaries and being able to go wherever they need to go. So that's a fun one, and it works well. But then sometimes you got to tie them to their desk and force them to do some of that. But it's pretty good. So we also get into the realm where, however our teams, our divisions, our departments are set up, it always seems like they're behind and having to just constantly do firefighting, put out fires, put stuff on the back burner because there's some new emergency or urgency that has to be done. How do you get people from being firefighters all the time into like clear workflows and structure that can be kept up with and maintained over time?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I see in it could be a firm size of 3 to a firm size of 100 and some individuals or even larger. The biggest issue when all you're doing is firefighting is you have, as I say, too many cooks in the kitchen, too many hands in the cookie jar. You have to eliminate the individuals who are within that realm of the firefight and narrow it down to, you know, one or two individuals who can kind of help that. You kind of have to have that lead person that can kind of come in and help delegate certain firefighting actions or where those need to go within the firm. But usually you have way too many people either providing their opinion, their thoughts, or working on a task that really is just wasting more time than it shouldn't be. So you really need to kind of drill down of who are the individuals that need to be on a certain item to produce better workflow, better efficiencies, and remove kind of the outside noise. That's the biggest thing that I've seen.
I really like the whole holistic answer that you just gave. So I'm gonna play back some things with you that I'm gonna stretch to say this is what I heard. So one, I feel like you have to appoint people that know the team and know the people, because when work comes in, they're going to say, I don't need 10 people for this. I need just these two people that have these personalities or these skills or whatever to handle this. And they can delegate that work, like you said. And then the other one is like, oh, this is a greater effort. Maybe I need to break this in small chunks across 10 people so that the whole puzzle gets made. And if you have everybody looking at every fire, they're going to chaotically, it's like herding cats, right? Nobody's going to get the right assignments. They're going to be moved. Some people are going to run down a chase a rabbit, and other people are going to do nothing. And two people are going to carry the whole load anyway. And it's like an old high school group assignment, right? And you don't want it to devolve like that. Is that even remotely in the realm of a good metaphor?
Yes, exactly. It's almost kind of like you don't want to just have a meeting to have a meeting, because when you're in a meeting, everybody starts talking and then they start creating problems that were never a problem prior to the meeting. So in order to do that, you have to eliminate certain aspects of things. And one of the biggest things you had mentioned of having that individual who knows the team, who can help delegate of where those fires need to go to. The biggest no-no on who is not that person to lead that team is your partner, manager of the firm, entrepreneur, the individual who started it all. That is not the person that needs to do it. They are the high level individuals. You have to have somebody like a Robin, or you could have more than one Robin in that scene to kind of help that firefighting aspect. It cannot be up to the high level staff.
Gotcha. So for the nerds out there, you could have like a Robin, a second Robin, a Nightwing, and a Red Hood. You can have all that. So nerds out there, be thinking about who your Robin, whole little Robin series is. Okay, so let's, the people listening out there as well, they should hopefully be doing what we tell them, listen with a pen and paper. So time for them to get ready to write something down if they haven't already. If they're feeling overwhelmed, if they're feeling pretty disorganized, what's just like, hey, let's take the first step. Let's write this down. Let's go act. What's the first step you could recommend if they're feeling that way?
Yeah, the very first thing is the top three things that are creating all of this stress in your mind. What are the top three things that are causing that disorganization in your mind? And then decide from those top three things, are you the individual standing in your own way to get these done? Or is it time to reach out and ask for help from whether that's somebody within the firm or somebody that you need to hire in order to kind of come in and help with that, those intrusive thoughts of being disorganized. So the top three things, are you in the way or do you need outside help?
I like that. So it's really a coin. The first step is examine both sides of the coin. And the first side of the coin is a mirror. So you need to look at yourself. And the other side of the coin is like, do we need actual real help somewhere with this? That's pretty good. That's pretty deep stuff. So I appreciate that a lot. What we're going to do is we're going to take a wonderful opportunity to push the pause button. We're going to jump into commercial break because networks need money. So sit tight. We're going to come back with a final stretch and more Brittany right after this on Pivotal Change. Welcome back to Pivotal Change, and we're getting ready to finish out the night on this episode with Brittany Casares. But before that, I want to make sure that you know that if you're loving and liking this show, you don't have to stop with just this episode right here. All of our content is available at nowmediatv.com, or you can download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS. You can get the instant access to the full lineup of shows, not just your favorite one, Pivotal Change. You can get everything in both languages of English and Spanish. It's fully bilingual. The website allows you to access all of those things, download them, even a podcast version. So if you're in a situation where you can't watch and you can only run on the treadmill or drive, you get the podcast version as well. Now Media TV is 24/7 ready whenever you are, wherever you have signal or access. So keep that in mind as you continue to enjoy this series. Brittany Casares with C3 Pillar Consulting is back with us, and we're talking about creating efficiencies in organization, and we're going to keep pushing that along with getting ready for growth and change. So Brittany, let's keep this ball rolling.
Good.
All right. So you have some cool approaches that you do. I've watched your work and heard about your results. What's your approach to holding people accountable now? So now we're getting into the phase where we've got some roles, we've got some responsibilities. They're not too broad, they're not too tight. So we know what we need to do. We always want to try to motivate people more positively than negatively and discourage them. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm a firm believer in check-ins daily. Making sure that you don't have to sit there and micromanage, but check-ins daily of individuals of how's it coming? Do you need anything? And if you don't want to do daily, one big thing is if you have a team, which I'm a firm believer in, most smaller firms is where kind of I have been utilized within the operational area, is they have at least a morning meeting of 15 minutes or so of what's kind of going on in the firm. In those meetings, or that you have what's going on in your team, maybe not necessarily the whole firm, but everybody has their team. Those quick meetings, you always have to have action items. It's a way of getting away from pointing finger at who's responsible for what, so that removes the discouraging of accountability. However, it is vocalizing to more than just one person. Studies that I have seen show that if you show accountability just to one person, you're more than likely to kind of push it to the side and then be like, you know what, we'll just have a conversation and we'll work it out later. If more than one person hears that you are responsible for some type of task or meeting a KPI or anything of that sort, they're more likely to push harder to get those needs done because they know that there's more than one person that they know has an idea of what they're working on. So one thing that I do is team meetings. And in those team meetings, every person has action items, whether that's 1 to 3. And then you produce your action items before the call and you walk away with what you're going to do between now and the next call. And it's a collaborative environment, but it also instills that accountability. And then everybody can hear kind of what's going on or how they can help. So that's the most successful accountability tactic that I have seen and used.
I like that a lot. We don't call it a daily check-in. We really ours is simply a little more organic than that, but it is purposeful. So I really like that you have a label, you have a title for it. And then the other part that's really cool is written action items. You stressed that pretty heavily. I'm going to help you stress it again. It's so important. It's so easy how much the human ear says, hey guys, here's something we need to get done today. Your team's responsible for this. Remember, it's got to be done by the end of the day. and then you walk away and it wasn't written down. It's not on a board or some, you know, nudge list on the computer or something like that. And people forget pretty quick. And especially when the grinding gets going. So I appreciate the heck out of that point there. And I like your collaborative statement. So one of the things that we have done, and we do the Fridays off, but mm-hmm. it's contingent. So we have different teams set up in our firm, and at any given point in time, their work volume is a little different. But everyone is constantly reminded, we don't get Fridays off unless the firm has reached these goals. And so if one team is like killing it this week, they're going to jump out and help the other team kill it. Well, what's going to happen next week? Well, it might the role reverse. And we're all one big team more than we are a bunch of divisions. And that helps us with some uniformity as well. So your collaborative efforts, your multiple people, not singling people out. This is like really fine-tuned advice that I did not want to just be bounced off once. That was actually heavy advice that came off very, very quick and easy, you know, because you do it so often. So that was really good. Okay, let's talk about some growth some more.
Okay.
So we're dialing it in. If we get the teams to understand responsibilities, we've dialed in the responsibilities, we've got check-in meetings, people are being accountable to their teams and to themselves, then we're really kind of prepared for the organization to grow. So tell us a little bit more about some preparation steps or maybe organizational shifts that need to happen to really get us taken off into growth mode.
Right. I think step one is if you're ready to be in that growth mode, do you have the right people in the right seats? And that means, do you have the right people doing the right things to get you to where you need to go? Or if you don't have the right people in the right seats, do you have the right people in the right in the firm? So you can always move people around, find their strengths, and see what is best to get that growth strategy going. They may not be the right person for the firm. However, they may be great for the firm, just not being utilized in their expertise realm that they could help more benefit your firm to grow more. The next biggest thing, especially in smaller firms, but it also can be with multiple partners in a firm, is are they ready to get out of their own way? Are they ready to take a step back and be able to trust the individuals that you have employed in those realms and kind of see how it progresses over, you know, week over week and kind of have some goals maybe in your mind of what you would like to see, but stepping back to see if you have done your job as an entrepreneur, as a leader in the firm, to put the right people in the right role to get you to that growth mode. So I think there's two big things. People in the right seat within the firm, because you can always move people around or you can, you know, start new. And the biggest thing that I talk about all the time is, are you ready to get out of your own way and allow the trust to kind of build and see where you can go from there?
What the audience probably doesn't know is get out of your own way is a pretty recurring theme
in
our realm of what we do. And it's a very universal topic, something I've spoken on many times, you've spoken many times, friends of ours have spoken on many times. And it's really important that the way that you hear that phrase, get out of your own way, is that you are the funnel, you are the choke point, okay? Stop it, empower people to do the work. And then I really love the fact that I'm going to read to you, Brittany, as I am the audience, what's written on my board right now. Says it's not all about just getting the right people on the bus, but getting the right people in the right seat on the bus.
Exactly.
So that is my quote for the day. So what a wonderful way to thread your comment into the entire episode. So I really like those points that you're making. I can't, you know, that's why you're on the show so often, is because of your level of intellect and delivery. So that's really good. So now we've done what you just said, and we've gotten out of our own way. We've got people in the right seats, which is a diligence necessity for leaders. Then we want to make the organization grow. We're growth ready. Let's do it. What's the mindset shift? What do I need to do with my people, for my people, resources? Go.
If you have all of those steps done, you got to sit back and trust the process for a second, because you are going to make changes, but you cannot make changes until you see what's in play at first. That's the biggest thing, and you're gonna see problems. But those problems are only going to be able to be fixed quickly by being able to sit back and kind of trust the process. If you feel that you already have those prior steps ready to go, that is the hardest part, especially for individuals who see high level. But you have to kind of see the details. The devil is in the details. Another saying that I love, and you have to be able to watch those details get going. and kind of see and then be able to nitpick and kind of go, okay, let's either transition this way or let's keep rolling and seeing if it's going to go this way. So sit back and trust, see what it does, and then regroup and then try again with new strategies or existing strategies and kind of go from there. But you cannot do it until you start the process.
I like that. So you got to hit that big green go button at some point. Yeah, say, sure. We've got all this stuff lined out. Boom, let's take on more work. Boom, let's take on another employee to increase bandwidth, whatever, let's go. And then tell me about communication. When you're hitting the green button, what's the communication going on with staff, among staff, top down, bottom up, to mind shift change? You know, I have a conversation with our people and say, hey guys, you're going to feel a sense of almost perpetual change in our firm. And we're not going to change for the sake of change. But the one thing that's constant is change. So we're not going to fear it. We're not going to be afraid of it. And you're going to experience change regularly because we're always seeking to improve. But if you're going into specific growth mode, what's the communication that needs to happen there?
It has to be open communication. You have to allow your employees to be able to kind of give you some feedback. And as a leader, you have to be able to accept some feedback. Individuals within a leadership role, you should be used to being able to say, okay, in one ear and out the other, or understanding this is really important. This individual should be listened to. So I think the biggest thing is open feedback, open communication lines. And then the biggest thing is communicating with your employees that this is going to be rough. It is not going to be a walk in the park. It is going to be rough. And you have to be able to kind of weather the storm to kind of see the outcome. But that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, neglect every other feeling that you may have within a firm. You just have to dig deeper and push harder. So you have to be able to see if you have those individuals that are willing to kind of do that. But the best thing to do is constant check-ins, constant, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? Are you seeing anything that I'm not seeing? And then kind of eliminating maybe some of their feelings or their stressors by just providing like the real in you of, look, I'm stressed as well, but guess what? I'm in the same position you are. We're going to do this together, or we're going to kind of go back to square one and we're still going to do this together. So I think the biggest thing is just open communication and then being real with the employees. Nobody likes change, but always provide the big picture of where you think the change is going to get you guys. Yes. But then allowing the individuals who see the details to provide some of the why, because a lot of employees, especially in today's world, need to have a why in order for them to be motivated to move towards that change.
Love it. So Brittany, let me do this. If somebody wants to communicate with you, get your expertise and figure out how to become better, where do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is you can find me on LinkedIn under Brittany Casares. I do have my own consulting, operational consulting called C3 Pillars. You can also email me, which my contact information is on my LinkedIn with my phone number and email. And that is the most, the quickest way to get a hold of me and to kind of move forward from there.
Perfect. Brittany, you're an absolute rock star. Thank you for being on the show again. I appreciate you every time.
Thank you for having me.
And for everybody else out there, I want to make sure that you take what you learned tonight, you go out into the world and you see the change and you be the change. We'll catch you here next time on Pivotal Change.